Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss power foods for your brain, how certain foods can protect your brain, optimize its function, and even dramatically reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease. We will talk with Dr. Neil Barnard, MD, the founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Dr. Barnard will tell us about an effective three-step plan that can protect your mind and strengthen your memory. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Antioxidant supplementation lowers oxidized LDL. An article in the Iranian Journal of Basic Medical Science published the results of a study conducted by researchers at Bushehr University of Medical Sciences in Iran, which found a reduction in oxidized low-density lipoprotein, or LDL, in men supplemented with antioxidant nutrients. Oxidized LDL plays a role in the development of atherosclerosis and increased coronary heart disease risk. Experimental evidence suggests that the administration of antioxidant compounds could help reduce LDL oxidation, thereby retarding the progression of atherosclerosis. The study included 200 men age 40 and older with risk factors for cardiovascular disease that included hypertension, disordered lipids, type 2 diabetes, family history of premature cardiovascular disease, obesity, and smoking. Participants were divided to receive one of the following five daily regimens for 12 weeks: 500 milligrams of vitamin C, 400 international units of vitamin E, 15 milligrams of beta-carotene, vitamin C and E plus beta-carotene, or no supplements. Blood samples obtained prior to and after the treatment period were analyzed for plasma, oxidized LDL, serum nutrient concentrations, blood glucose, and lipids. While oxidized LDL levels remained basically unchanged in this unsupplemented group, they declined in those who received separate or combined vitamin supplements. Those who received vitamin E experienced the greatest reduction, which averaged 24%. The findings of this study demonstrated that supplementation of antioxidant vitamins decreased harmful biomarkers for cardiovascular diseases such as oxidized LDL. To reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease occurrence, the individuals at risk should be encouraged for daily consumption of antioxidant vitamin supplementation. Well, diet can have an effect on improving rheumatoid arthritis. An increasing volume of research shows that certain dietary changes do, in fact, help. For example, polyunsaturated oils and omega-3 supplements have a mild beneficial effect, and researchers have found that vegan diets are beneficial. Now, Dr. John McDougall and myself, as well as other researchers, did a study back in 2002 that looked at the influence of a very low-fat vegan diet on subjects with moderate to severe rheumatoid arthritis. After only 4 weeks on the diet, almost all measures of rheumatoid arthritis symptoms decreased significantly. And the journal Rheumatology published a study that found a gluten-free vegan diet improved the signs and symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis. An uncooked vegan diet rich in antioxidants and fiber was shown in another study to decrease joint stiffness and pain in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. Some research studies have looked at fasting followed by a vegetarian or vegan diet. A review of multiple research studies conclude that this diet treatment might be useful in the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, I have high cholesterol. Do you have some simple diet ideas on how I can reduce my cholesterol? Well, here are four ways to eat your way to lower cholesterol. 1. Stick with unsaturated fats and avoid saturated and trans fats. Most vegetable fats and oils are made up of unsaturated fat that are healthy for your heart. Foods that contain healthy fats include nuts, seeds, and some vegetables. At the same time, avoid your intake of foods high in saturated fat, which is found in many meats and dairy products, and stay away from trans fats. These include many foods made with partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. 2. Get more soluble fiber. Eat more soluble fiber such as found in oatmeal and fruits. This type of fiber can significantly lower blood cholesterol levels when eaten as part of a healthy low-fat diet. 3. Include plant sterols and stanols in your diet. These naturally occurring plant compounds are similar in structure to cholesterol. When you eat them, they help limit the amount of cholesterol your body can absorb. Plant sterols and stanols are found in an increasing number of food products such as spreads, juices, and nutrition bars. And 4, go vegetarian, or at least eat more vegetarian meals. Studies show that vegetarian and vegan meals are ideal for lowering your blood cholesterol.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Today on Health and Longevity, we will be talking about power foods for your brain. We will be discussing a groundbreaking program and plan that can strengthen your memory and protect your brain's health. Our featured guest today is Dr. Neil Barnard, MD. Dr. Barnard is a clinical researcher, New York Times bestselling author, and leading advocate for health. He is an adjunct associate professor of medicine at George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, board certified by the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, and president of the nonprofit Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine in Washington, D.C. Funded by the National Institutes of Health, his clinical research revolutionized the treatment of type 2 diabetes. His new work aims at putting the findings of research together to work to prevent risks of brain health. Dr. Barnard is the author of the new book, Power Foods for the Brain. Well, Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
Well, it's great to be with you today.
Well, you have a wonderful new book, Power Foods for the Brain, and I'm really interested in knowing how did you get interested in the whole area of cognitive health and how that ties in with our diet?
You know, I have to say that it's really two things. The first is that Alzheimer's disease in particular has become just an epidemic. Nearly half of people by age 85 get this. But also, when I talk to people just in day-to-day life, there are so many people who feel that they're not operating quite on all the cylinders, mm-hmm. that their memory is not quite perfect, they're forgetting their keys, and they wish right. they could do better. But research has now shown how foods affect the brain, both for just day-to-day cognitive issues, and then particularly, and where it's really, really particularly exciting, is the power that we now have to prevent Alzheimer's disease, which is something we couldn't really talk about 15 years ago, but today we can.
Well, let's talk about Alzheimer's disease and cognitive health in general. Are we seeing increasing problems in the prevalence of this throughout our country?
Yes, we have, and it's going to hit very, very badly in the next few years, and that's partly because there are more older folks as the baby boomers hit their older years, but it's also because we're now paying a price for the fast food revolution of the 1960s and 1970s. And for, oh, really between then and about 2004, 2005, diets got worse and worse and worse and worse. Just more cheese, more meat, more saturated fat, more cholesterol. And we are now paying the price for that, I'm sorry to say.
Well, let's talk about that before, and what's great is you have some nutritional and dietary solutions to help us in protecting our brain health. But let's maybe start off with a little bit of the negative at first and talk about those brain threats as far as diet is concerned.
Right. The bad guys are certain fats, two of them in particular. Saturated fat, which is bacon grease, cheese fat, chicken fat. Animal fats in general are high in saturated fat. And then also the trans fats that are in donuts and snack foods. In Chicago, a big research study called the Chicago Health and Aging Project tracked thousands of older folks, and what they found was that those people who ate the most saturated fat or trans fats had dramatically higher risk of Alzheimer's compared to other people. But if you flip it around, what if you decide, okay, forget it, I'm not going to be eating those things. Instead of the meat taco, let me have the bean burrito. Instead of the meat sauce on my pasta or the cheese sauce, let me have the light tomato sauce or whatever. Those changes will cut your risk, and I believe that if we put all of the elements that we know together, we could probably prevent 70-80% of Alzheimer's cases.
Now, let's go back. Trans fats definitely are a bad guy, and saturated fats are bad guys. And when you think of saturated fat, we're often thinking of red meat, even your fried chicken, I see on your picture here in your book, cheese, all those saturated whole fat dairy products and so forth are often thought of saturated fat. But now there's a lot of information, or at least some people are saying, well, coconut oil is good for you, or palm kernel oil. What about those saturated fat as well?
Well, they are. They're very heavily saturated. In fact, if you look at coconut oil, it looks like a candle. I mean, it's
yes.
so waxy. And you're right that some people nowadays are saying, but it has some health benefits. And I really have to tell you, I cannot yet separate what is science versus what is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am not ready to say, oh, sure, let's just throw coconut fat in everything. I think that's, at least so far, that does not seem justified to me.
Okay, so you're in agreement with me on that, because that, a lot of people are getting confused about that, too. So those are examples.
That doesn't mean you can't ever eat a coconut, you know. But on the other hand, when they isolate the fat, it is this waxy solid.
Right.
I have to say, everything that I understand means it's about as bad as lard.
What do you think of the palm kernel oil?
Probably the same.
Okay. Okay, let's go on to talk about some of the other threats, too.
Sure. When you look into the brain of a person who died with Alzheimer's,
yes,
you see what are called beta amyloid plaques. Under the microscope, what they are is little tiny specks between the brain cells, microscopic. If you blew them up really big, they would look like a little meatball or a ball of yarn. And if you dissect them, what they're made of is protein. Protein that oozes out of the brain cells like sausage coming out of a sausage maker. But there are also metals, iron and copper and aluminum. And you think, how could those have gotten in my brain? Well, let's take that aluminum frying pan. And we're stirring up our spaghetti sauce in it, and you pour it on your pasta, and then you mm-hmm. eat it. The aluminum gets through the digestive tract into the bloodstream. It can go to the brain. But iron and copper are things that people don't think about, but the cast iron pan, the copper pipes, and many foods like lobster or crab or crayfish, shrimp, and especially liver, are very high in these metals. And years ago, people thought, oh, great, the more iron you get, the better. Well, we now know that people tend to get too much iron from their foods. If they're eating meat, and especially liver, they're getting too much iron, corrodes, copper corrodes. And in your brain, this oxidation process produces free radicals that destroy the brain cells. At least that's what we believe is going on. So you want to be very careful about these metals.
Now, you say excess copper in their copper piping, that's hard to control, isn't it?
It is hard to control. If you have copper, you know, look under the sink.
Mm-hmm.
If you have copper pipes, I would encourage you to use that water for washing, but I would not drink it. You can use a water filter, or you can contract with a company that will bring these huge, giant water bottles to your house that are replaceable and that kind of thing, or
uh-huh.
whatever. But I would suggest not drink the water directly. And copper comes to us in other forms. You go to the store and you buy some multiple vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got vitamin D and vitamin B12 in there, which is good. But they add iron and they add copper, which you do not need typically because you're getting it in foods already. And you're going to overdose it. And John, let me give you a couple numbers.
Sure.
The amount of copper that your average person needs is a little bit less than a milligram. It's about 0.9 mm-hmm. milligrams. Now, the amount that was shown to be toxic in Chicago, if you ate bad fats and a lot of copper, it was as bad as 19 extra years of aging on the brain. And the amount that did that was less than 3 milligrams. So you need about 1 milligram. 3 milligrams is toxic. To put this in perspective, a penny weighs 2,500 milligrams. So the amount we're talking about that is harmful to the brain is minuscule. Most people are on the knife edge of getting too much iron, too much copper, and I believe that the reason that nearly half of Americans get Alzheimer's disease by age 85 is because of these exposures that they had absolutely no idea of. It's not normal. It's not just part of getting old. It's a disease process, and we can stop it. At least that's what the evidence suggests.
Well, you talk about avoiding some of that cast iron pans and aluminum pans and pots. Are there alternatives that you recommend for cooking?
I should say, if a person has a cast iron pan and you use it once a month or something, it's pretty hard for me to say that's bad.
Okay.
But if that's your daily cookware, you're getting too much iron.
Okay.
So switch to stainless steel. You're going to do better. And if you have a pan that's made of aluminum or whatever it's made of, the question is the metal in touch with the food? Many of these products are now coated, and that's okay, at least with regard to getting the metal will not get into the food if it's a coated pan.
Okay. Well, those are some of the brain threats, and let's talk about those brain-protecting foods.
Yeah, there are a number of them. Let me jump in and talk about nuts, walnuts, pecans, almonds. They have vitamin E, and if you poured into your hand a little bit of these walnuts, and you crumble them up and put them on your salad, you get about an ounce a day. If it fits easily into the palm of your hand, that's an ounce. And you crumble it on your salad, it adds a nice crunch, but it adds maybe 5 milligrams or so of vitamin E. Well, vitamin E in the Chicago study cut Alzheimer's risk quite significantly, and if you put all the studies together, the benefit is somewhere between a 25% up to a 70% reduction in your risk. What that means is it's really cutting your risk quite dramatically. So nuts, seeds, like sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, they work also. Green leafy vegetables, kale, collards, spinach, broccoli, they have folate, which is a B vitamin. Beans and bananas and certain other foods have vitamin B6. And B12 is a vitamin that this is the one where I really think you need to get a supplement.
Okay.
A vitamin B12 supplement. And I'm going to take these three together, folate in the green leafy vegetables, B6 in beans, bananas, and my vitamin B12 supplement, folate, B6, B12. They work together. They protect the brain. And the way they do it is they kick out a waste product called homocysteine that builds up in the brain and is toxic to it. And if you're getting those three B vitamins, they just shovel the homocysteine out and protect the brain.
Okay. What are some other foods?
Let me also cheerlead for darkly colored fruits, like grapes, for example.
Yes.
You think, well, isn't that purple grape attractive? Well, at the University of Cincinnati, they said it's not just attractive. Those dark purple anthocyanins that give the grape color, they're antioxidants. And so they put them to the test. They said, let's see if they affect memory in a good way. They brought in a group of people, average age 78, and over about a 12-week period, they said to everybody, drink 2 cups of grape juice every day, Concord grape juice. And they showed that there was a measurable improvement in memory over 12 weeks. But then they thought, well, if it's anthocyanins that do this, then blueberries ought to have the same effect. They put them to the test, and they did have the same effect, exactly. So the answer to me, though, is not to have 2 cups of grape juice or 2 cups of blueberry juice, but instead incorporate these foods into your routine, like blueberries on your morning oatmeal, or some grapes in your salad. And if you're taking advantage of them on a daily basis, they'll protect you.
And I see on your list here you have beans and chickpeas.
Yeah. I like them for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One is that if a person has beans for lunch. Yesterday I had a nice big bean burrito with a little salsa on top.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of protein, and people think that's a very satisfying food. But if you sent black beans, pinto beans, chickpeas, any beans to a laboratory, and you said, how much bad fat is in there? There's virtually none. There's virtually no saturated fat in there at all. And so you think, well, I'm getting all this great protein, I'm getting fiber, I'm getting the vitamin B6 I was talking about earlier, but you get it without the bad fat that would be in, say, the meat burrito or the meat, you know, if you had a hamburger or something like that. So if you're having either the beans themselves or a bean product like a veggie burger made of beans or chickpeas that are made into hummus or falafel or just chickpeas added to a salad, you get all the good nutrition without any of the bad nutrition. So beans are neglected. Our grandparents knew about them, but we've kind of forgotten about them. And it's good to bring them back because they really will, they have tremendous health benefits.
And it's a very inexpensive source of good quality vegetable protein.
Oh, good heavens. You go to the store, you can buy dried beans for pennies.
Right.
And, you know, I have to tell you, I was kind of nervous about cooking. I thought, I'm an impatient person. I don't really like cooking.
Right.
And so I would buy canned beans. And
sure.
I still will have canned beans occasionally for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my dietitians said, you know, Neil, the beans cook themselves. You don't have to supervise it. So I put them on to soak. They soaked them overnight, and the next day I cooked them. They cooked them. You know, you're doing something else. They cook themselves. And it is the cheapest and most available source of good nutrition that you can imagine.
Now, you have another brain-protecting food I saw in your book, and maybe people don't know about this, but what about sweet potatoes?
You know, I have to say, I learned this first from a friend of mine. I have a friend who runs a Japanese restaurant. She grew up in Okinawa, and that when I heard she was from Okinawa, that instantly made a bell go off in my brain. Because people in Okinawa, which is at the very bottom of Japan, they live longer than just about anywhere else. They have more centenarians than any place on the planet. And you look at what are they eating. What is their main staple? It's not fish. It's not rice. It's sweet potatoes.
Right.
So you go to the store and you cut open a sweet potato, and that orange color screams out at you. It's beta carotene. It's a powerful antioxidant and a brain protector. So like all the other plant foods, no cholesterol, no bad fat, very high in healthy fiber, high in healthy complex carbohydrates that nourish the brain with the glucose the brain needs, but none of the bad stuff, and a huge amount of this healthy beta carotene that, by the way, is, of course, not just good for the brain. I mean, it's a cancer fighter, good in many, many ways. So that is the sweet potato, and another neglected thing that people don't think about. So I'm encouraging people to bring the sweet potato back into their lives, whether you just boil it and mash it up. Some people will make sweet potato fries, and you can do it without oil by putting them on a cooking sheet and just baking them. Delicious. You know, kids love them. Everybody loves them.
And the Okinawans are also known, you can't get them in all the markets, but the Okinawan sweet potato, that's that purple sweet potato that's really good too.
Yes, they do. They have varieties that you don't see here. And I really encourage people to look at color, because those colors are typically antioxidants. The orange sweet potato or carrot, the red, the lycopene in a tomato or a watermelon, or the purple anthocyanins in berries, those antioxidants protect the plant. And the reason that our eye is so sensitive to those colors is because we've evolved with these plants, and those people who didn't eat them sort of died out, and those people who are sensitive to those colors tended to survive. So dogs and cats who are not naturally herbivores, they pay no attention to anything in the whole produce aisle. But human beings, those colors leap out at us, and in other words, it's our nature to be eating these brightly colored foods.
Now, real quickly, tell us, I know in addition to the brain protector foods, you recommend some other extras like exercise, intellectual stimulation, sleep. Can you hit on both all those a little bit?
Yes. At the University of Illinois, they asked a group of individuals to do brisk walking 3 times a week. And what they showed is that over time, it actually reverses age-related shrinkage of the parts of the brain that are involved in memory, specifically the hippocampus. And the amount of exercise, the way they do it is very interesting. 10-minute walk, 3 times a week, very easy, anyone can do it. The next week, go to 15, then the next week after that, go to 20, go to 25. You gradually build up, and they got people to 40 minutes brisk walk 3 times a week. And you're just pumping up the oxygen into your brain, and it's good for you. Sleep is very, very important. If you are staying up too late, you're missing out on the slow wave sleep, which is when your brain is filing away words and facts and experiences in the course of the day. You're also missing out on REM sleep, which is what allows your brain to integrate emotion. So if you're staying up all night, you are going to be grumpy the next day and your memory will be shot. So exercise plenty and don't forget to stop and go to sleep.
Okay. And give us a quick overview of your new book, Power Foods for the Brain.
Power Foods for the Brain was designed to help people, whether you're young and you simply want to feel mentally sharper, or you're up in years and you're afraid of Alzheimer's disease attacking you. My father died a year ago, but it was as if he had died 10 years earlier because his memory gradually deteriorated to the point he didn't know anything. He couldn't read the books that he had enjoyed. My goal is to sort of turn back the clock. I can't save my dad, but as a doctor, I believe that all of us can save ourselves and our loved ones if we put the power foods for the brain to work in our routine right now. And I'm hoping that everybody will take this knowledge, share it with people they love, because there's nothing worse than losing your contacts, losing your memory, losing all those things that are so important to us.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Barnard, for being with us today. And I know you actually have a PBS television special on this topic as well.
Yes, we do. I'm glad to tell you that Power Foods for the Brain was translated by PBS into a program that's been airing all around the country, and we've been hearing very nice things from people. And I am convinced that we're turning a corner. When I was a kid, we thought that it's just a matter of aging. You're going to lose your memory. I now believe we can stop that because people are taking advantage of this message, and I'm very excited that that's happening.
And for more information about the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, give us your website.
It's pcrm.org. That's pcrm.org.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and I wish you the best of success as you continue to get this word out about healthy eating and also as people learn more about power foods for their brain.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.